A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Word of God, words of life.
For the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions, deliver me, O God, from the need to be understood, from a need to be accepted, from the fear of being lonely. Deliver me, O God. Deliver me, O God. And I shall serving others, from the fear of death or trial, from the fear of humility.
And all God's people said amen. Amen. And I just want to note for the record, the next time Heather sings, Reverend Denise will be preaching, so I get to hold the baby. I'm just saying. This morning we continue our sermon series, Shiny Objects, in which we're identifying those things that too often distract us from God and stop us from our primary focus, which is loving God and loving others. Last week we talked about the saints who have gone before us and how each of them also struggled with distractions. This week, we're looking at big picture at our investment strategies. How do we recognize the enormity of the gifts that God has given us, gifts of time and talent and treasure, and not be distracted by them, but rather earnestly and humbly ask, what is it that God has called me to do with these gifts? David just read to us the parable of the talents from the Gospel of Matthew, which is our scripture base today. But, you know, we're blessed with an amazing worship and arts team who are going to offer their own particular take on this familiar story.
Once upon a time, in a land far away, there was a great and powerful wizard, the wizard of the land of Odd. A great and powerful wizard was he. I said a great and powerful wizard.
Oh, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Oh, hello. Nice to meet you.
Now, the wizard had planned a journey to a faraway place and called a board meeting to give instructions to his managers. But the lion, formerly known as the Cowardly Lion, was away overseeing replanting of the poppy field, so a replacement was called in.
Munchkin, why are you always late?
Yeah, and don't give us that same old lame story of always getting lost in the haunted forest.
Ah, shut up, you overgrown tin can.
Oh, you little pipsqueak. Why, I oughta...
Yeah, well, your mother's a Ford Pinto.
An assembly of my most trusted managers. Oh, and yes, you, Munchkin. As you all may know, I've decided to take a much-needed vacation.
Ooh, warm sands, blue seas. You know those little drinks with the tiny umbrellas in them?
Yeah, yeah. Where are you going? Tahiti? Jamaica? Bahamas?
I'm going to Kansas.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you're bringing back that brat and that mangy mutt.
Not this time. While I'm gone, I will bestow upon each of you with a new talent.
The Scarecrow, Tin Man, and, well, the Munchkin were ecstatic about this news.
Ooh, a talent! Oh, joy! Oh, rapture!
I shall use my talent with all my heart.
When the cat's away, the mice do play.
And so the wizard proceeded to distribute the prize talents.
Ah, Tin Man, you were once given a heart, which you utilized so beautifully. I will now bestow upon you the talent of charity.
Oh, look, it even ticks.
Scarecrow, I will give you a new talent of joy.
Oh. The two sides of an isosceles triangle equal a henway.
What's a henway?
About 2.5 pounds.
But I'm pumped.
I am surrounded by morons.
And as for you, Munchkin, I will give you the talent of peace.
What, a peace symbol? Whatever happened to cold hard cash?
And so, because the wizard's hot air balloon was under repair, he tied a birthday balloon to his lawn chair and set out on a journey.
Farewell!
Bye!
The Scarecrow and Tin Man carefully devised plans to put their talents to good use, but the Munchkin, well, she was not very industrious. Now, the wizard ran into a slight technical problem on his return landing, and thus decreed overhead power lines to be removed from all of the land of Odd. He then requested a full accounting from all of his managers.
Ah, Tin Man, you were given the talent of charity. How did you use your talent?
Oh, great and most wise of wizards. Mm. As you may recall, last spring the Wicked Witch of the West met her demise in a dreadful accident involving a bucket of water. Since that time, the mortgage company repossessed her castle and evicted all of the flying monkeys. In your absence, I set up a homeless shelter for dispossessed flying monkeys and have made provisions for an employment service to find each one a new job.
Oh. Good and faithful, trusted servant. What a wonderfully creative way of using your talent. Now, Scarecrow, what did you do with your talent?
Oh, great and powerful Wizard of Odd. Mm. I took your talent of joy, and I mediated a labor dispute amongst the Munchkins. I haven't seen morale this high since we dropped that house on the Wicked Witch of the East.
That was good.
Very, very well done. Messy thing, that Munchkin labor disputes.
And now it was time for the Munchkin to give her account.
Munchkin, how did you utilize your talent?
Okay, first of all, if you call me a Munchkin one more time, I'm going to file a discrimination claim with the EEOC. Yeah. Yeah, see, I prefer the term vertically challenged. You know, I gotta tell you, big guy, this whole peace thing was no picnic. I feel like I hurt a part of my brain trying to come up with a way to use this talent. And I decided that it was so stressful, I needed a vacation. So I took myself to Palm Springs. I had my nails done, I did some shopping, I went and spent the day in the spa. Oh, and I met the cutest tennis pro named Hans. Yeah, I gotta tell you, I don't know what my line is.
Can't take her anywhere.
Anyway, I met this cute tennis pro named Hans, and I gotta tell you, it was the most peaceful time in my entire life.
You wicked and lazy Munchkin! You couldn't find one single way to spread peace amongst the land of Odd, and because of that, I will take your talent and give it to the Tin Man. And you shall be banished from Odd forever into a land of darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of the teeth.
Oh, no. No, you're not sending me to...
Yes.
Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, no. Anything but that.
Be gone.
No, please, please. Not Toledo. I beg of you. That's where my Aunt Ruth lives. I can't go there. Please. Help!
And so, because she let her talent go to waste, the Munchkin was banished from Odd, never to be heard from again. And thus ends our story. Join us next time for Toto Slays the Giant.
Okay, so whichever version of the parable you actually prefer, we have to be careful in how we do interpret it. For example, it's been used in a couple of very prominently bad ways. First of all, as an illustration of the prosperity gospel, which essentially says that God wants us to live the American dream, amassing more and more for ourselves because wealth is a sign of God's blessings and God wants us to be rich. Let me be clear, that's not my theology, nor was it that of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. So, this parable has also been used as proof of judgment in the afterlife, as we heard the weeping and gnashing of teeth line. For those who live this life, for those who live this life in fear without trust and risk in God. But I want us to see it differently in a third way. It's called the parable of the talents, not because in its original form it was talking about our gifts and abilities, but that's a nice play on words in English. In the ancient world, a talent was a form of currency. And because Jesus was nearing the time of his death when he told this parable, we can assume that he wasn't trying to instruct the disciples on how to invest their money wisely. He was trying to prove a greater point, that in the big picture of life on earth, we need to be mindful of how our actions, relative to our resources and blessings, can either build up or hold back the growth of the kingdom of God, and that all of our actions have consequences. So the protagonist in Matthew's parable wants peace and security. He wants to know that his property will be well tended. And he brings together these three servants. To the first, he gives 5 talents. To the next, he gives 2. And to the next, he gives 1. And he tells them that he trusts them with his treasure. And the 2 who, as we've heard, who received multiple talents, invested in stocks and bonds and cattle and real estate, so when the boss comes back, they are able to give him 100% return on his investment. And he's thrilled. But the servant who received just 1 talent, because he was afraid of the boss, he dug a hole, and he didn't want to risk losing anything. So he dug a hole and he placed his talent there, and when the boss comes back, he asks for an accounting of his investments. He's pleased with the first 2, but roundly castigates the servant who buried his talent rather than attempting to share it. Brothers and sisters, if we take what God has given us, our financial resources, our gifts, our blessings, and we keep them to ourselves because the shiny object that we fear is fear itself, then we become the third servant in the parable of the talents, afraid to risk what we have so that God might bless us and others more. We hoard instead of share. We see ourselves in an economy of scarcity instead of God's economy of abundance. And that's not who God has called us to be. David Rogney, who is a retired preacher from this annual conference, tells the story of a guest preacher in a rural church. He arrived at the church a little early, and he noticed a little box like we have in the narthex, and he assumes it's to help the homeless or the poor, so he puts in $1. At the close of the service at which he preached, his host took him out to the narthex and explained to him that the church was so small, they didn't have any money for guest preachers, so they put the box on the wall in the narthex for people to put in what they had to make a contribution toward paying the guest pastor. And as he opened the box, the preacher said, "You've done better than most. There's a whole $1 in here today." Well, that preacher went home and he told this story to his family. And one of his children said, "Gee, Daddy, if you'd put in more, you would have gotten out more." But that's really what it comes down to, brothers and sisters, for each of us. When we have opportunities to give, to serve, to love, the more we put in, the more we will receive. Now, to this point, we've been considering this parable at a micro level. How we as individuals are called to respond to God's risk and trust and invest our time and talent and treasure And it's the parable of a dream for a preacher during the month of November, which is stewardship month. I'm just saying. But beyond that micro-level interpretation, it has applications at a macro-level, especially as we look at the future of Methodism and our denomination. Think about it. For over 40 years, the United Methodist denomination has been distracted from our mission to love God and to love one another over the issues of human sexuality. We've said to our LGBTQ siblings, because of whom you love, bury your talents. You're called to ministry? Bury that talent. You want to be married by our clergy in our churches? Bury your talents, bury your hopes, bury your aspirations. You want to be fully accepted for who you are and who God created you to be? Bury that dream. Well, this week, the five active bishops of the Western jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church, that's our jurisdiction, basically the Western United States, they have moved us forward into what will become the next iteration of Methodism. No more, they have said, no more bearing the God-given talents of anyone who is called to ministry because of who they are or whom they love. No more bearing with fear of recrimination and charges the ability of any clergy, gay or straight, to marry two people who love one another. No more. Our bishops this week issued a declaration of safe harbor in the Western jurisdiction and their intention to pursue grace and not persecution going forward. This, my brothers and sisters, is a harbinger for where we are going as the new church. Amen? Amen. Now, in part, this declaration, and I want you to go online. It's on our Facebook page. It's at the westernjurisdictionumc.org website. You can go on it, you can read it, and you can sign it, clergy and laity together. In part, it reads, "We are haunted by the actions of the 2019 Special General Conference, which imposed new and harmful definitions and restrictions on full participation of LGBTQ persons in the church and abandoned robust engagement of Scripture to narrow biblical literalism. We do not believe that the United Methodist Church has the authority or the power to impose limits on the movement of God's Holy Spirit in the lives of God's beloved children. As of January 1st, 2020, when many of the actions of the 2019 General Conference will take effect, we intend to provide safe harbor for clergy under our care who may be at risk under the new provisions, prohibitions, and punishments. We intend to exercise our authority as bishops of the United Methodist Church to encourage and protect the full participation of LGBTQ persons as beloved children of God, embraced in God's reign of grace." Amen. 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 The bishops created a short video which we'll listen to their own testimonials.
We who are LGBTQ United Methodists who have heard Jesus' call to follow him and have heard that call is to ordain ministry, we've been examined carefully by our local churches, by our district committees on ordained ministries, by our boards of ordained ministries, by the district superintendents we've worked under, by the churches we have served, the staff parish relations, and our bishops. And we now live in fear that how we serve isn't good enough because of who we are.
That was just one bishop. There's four more to go. Or not. Okay, so there's four more to go, but, and we're going to post that on Facebook and you can see it at, we'll bring the lights back up. I want you to hear the bishops in their own voices. That was Bishop Karen Oliveto, the first elected openly gay bishop in our denomination. Amen. So, now our bishops are leading us forward, and the Holy Spirit will determine exactly where we're going. But in this process, we as a congregation have the opportunity to continue to lead as the progressive community of faith that we have been for years. And there are two concrete ways that we can do that. First, to support Reverend Denise in her pursuit of ordination. She will, out of 22 people who are applying this year, you are the only out person who's applying. That's one out of 22. And we need to support Denise as she's finishing up her papers, which are all due December 1st. Okay, December 4th. Yeah. But not only, so giving her some space to do that, but also as she's been traveling around as the conference's quarter-time LGBTQ advocacy coordinator, she's been conducting a series of listening posts, as well as other clergy have as well. But the ones Denise has been, that she's been conducting, they've not all gone as swimmingly as we would like. There are folks and there are forces in this annual conference. They are diminutive in many ways. They are small. They're definitely a minority voice, but they're loud. And they have been not helpful to Denise, and the pain has been palpable to me when I've had conversations with her. So the way you can support Denise is you just love her up. Send her a note, send her an email, text her, call her, and just say, I'm thinking about you, and let her know that she has the support of this congregation going forward. Amen. Now, secondly, the second way is this. This is November, so last spring, we had the General Church issued an invitation to submit demo reels for those entities that would like to help lead worship at General Conference 2020, which is in Minneapolis next May. Our Harmony Toluca Lake Worship Band, here they are at this past year's annual conference, submitted a demo reel. And they were accepted to lead conference on the lead general conference on the first Friday night of general conference in May. This is significant in many ways. I'm going to research this further, but I do not believe, in a brief conversation I had with Bishop Swenson, that there has been a worship band, a choir, an entity from this annual conference that has ever led worship at General Conference. That's number one. And number two, this is the Hollywood United Methodist Church helping to provide leadership at worship at General Conference 2020 when we're talking about splitting and we're talking about moving forward as people who will refuse to impose restrictions on gay and lesbian folks and clergy. This is so significant for us as a congregation. I simply want to say amen to that spirit moving to bring this. But like with most things, there's a catch. The General Conference invited us, but they don't pay for us. So we need to raise $15,000 to send all nine of our worship band members for that weekend. I think that we can do that, and I think that is an investment strategy that we should all support. Amen? Because we are blessed with an abundance of time and talent and treasure in this congregation. So I want you to imagine the possibilities that this could kind of leadership opening can bring to us as a community of faith. Let us then, as we go forward in this week, in this month, let us pledge that we will not bury our talents, just as we will not allow the General Church to continue to bury the talents of our gay and lesbian family. Let us not be distracted by shiny objects at a macro or a micro level, and let us continue to seek ways of being God's hands and feet in this broken and hurting world and among the people of our broken and hurting, yet hopeful and beloved United Methodist Church. Amen.